podcast. And now, here's the guy who's slightly, only slightly, more popular than the replacement officials. It's Rob Sisternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another live edition of Rob Has a Podcast. I am Rob Sisternino, and here is Nicole.
Hello.
Nicole, how the hell are you?
I'm fantastic.
Yes, you're very excited this morning. Very pumped up.
I am pumped up.
Yes, ready to go. We got a lot to get to today on a very big live show today, this morning.
We're live.
Thank you for joining us. On this show, in this hour, I will have a big announcement.
Ooh, what's your announcement?
Some big news coming to Rob as a Podcast this season.
Yes, that's news to me, because I don't know what he's talking about.
Some big news. Then we're going to preview episode 2 of Survivor Philippines tomorrow night.
Yes.
So episode 2, we'll see if Russell Swan can rebound. Talk about...
Can he get it together?
We will go into each tribe and talk a little bit about what's going on there. And then we're going to check in later on with winner of Big Brother 12, Hayden Moss is here live.
The one and only.
He is in the Rob Has a Fantasy Football League 2. He is dominating, much like he did in Big Brother.
Not surprising.
And we're going to check in with him, find out what he thought about the finale of Big Brother 14.
Is he going to yell at us? Like in the diary room?
Oh, I hope so. I forgot he was the original Joe.
He's the original.
He was the original Joe. He's been replaced as far as the all-time great Big Brother yellers.
I think he has been replaced.
I think every season, I think there is
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, we'll see if he's going to yell at us in the diary room. And also, Hayden Moss was up in Canada for doing stuff for Big Brother Canada.
Ooh la la.
Are you excited for Big Brother Canada?
I am, and so was Dr. Will. He tweeted that he wanted to audition for Big Brother Canada because the weather in February is good for a dermatologist.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yes.
Will there be a Survivor Canada? Can I apply to be on Survivor Canada?
Do you have to be a Canadian to apply?
I think for Big Brother Canada, I think that they're letting other people on. I'm not 100% sure. Maybe somebody
it's
could.
Not fair.
Maybe Hayden could let us know. We'll ask Hayden Moss all the questions we have about Big Brother Canada. All right, so let's start to get into it. And here, I want to start off...
I'd like to know who's going to host Big Brother Canada.
I'm available. Available.
Yes.
Climbing up the iTunes charts. And speaking of iTunes, so we're very excited. Nicole and I have... We got the iPhone. We have the iPhone 5.
Yes, we do.
And we're very excited about it. Slightly less excited after seeing some of the Samsung Galaxy Attack ads.
How dare you?
I'm like, maybe we made the wrong mistake. Okay, well, and if you need any iPhone 5 accessories, they have them all at Amazon.com. If you go to robhasawebsite.com/iPhone5, but that was not what I was getting at.
But that's good too.
Good to know. They have the coolest adapters, I heard.
Yes.
Okay. So that being said, so on your iPhone, if you upgraded to iOS 6,
which you need to, you can do a panoramic picture.
You can do a panoramic picture, right? But Apple did something that I did not really care for.
Yeah.
They removed podcasts from your music. Or from iTunes.
Yes.
So it used to be on your iPhone, you would go into iTunes or go into music, and your podcasts would be there.
Mm-hmm.
They have taken podcasts out of the music app. So now you have to download a new app that's called Podcasts.
Yes.
And then you get all your podcasts in the Podcasts app, not in music. I don't like that they did this. I don't like that they forced it out. I had the podcast app. I think you should have been able to have both. But they sort of forced our hand. And so now make sure if you want to get the podcast, the Rob is a Podcast on your iPhone, you need to make sure you download the podcast app, which then it makes you download it when you go to the App Store or it tells you, hey, you need the podcast app.
Right.
But without the podcast app, you cannot listen to Rob is a Podcast on your iPhone.
And life wouldn't be worth living.
Yeah, all the more reason why we might need the Rahap app.
Yes.
All the more reason. So make sure you do that, and while you're in the iTunes store, make sure you subscribe and give us some stars.
Yes.
if you think we're worth it,
and a good review.
That's right. If you're there, you don't have to do anything crazy. But do make sure you get the podcast app from the Apple Store. All right. So Nicole, are you ready for this, some big announcements?
Yes, I want to know.
All right. So As I have said in the summer, we are going to be doing some live shows right after Survivor ends on Wednesday night. So this is not news to any of the loyal listeners of Rob Has a Podcast that Wednesdays at 9:15 p.m. Eastern Time, I will be live with you to recap the episode. What is news?
But first,
what is news is that I will have a permanent. I will have a recurring co-host with me all season long to recap the episodes every Wednesday at 9:15, and that person is none other than not Nicole, none other than your friend and mine. Stefan Fishback will be joining us all season long, Wednesday nights. Steven and I will break down the episode, and we're going to brand this.
Chat room's going crazy.
Yes, we are branding this the Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Yes,
the two people.
Perfect for you guys.
The two people who know everything that there is to know about Survivor, yet have somehow the money has eluded our fingers. Mm-hmm. But yet we know everything. We know all the angles. We know all the strategy.
What everybody should have done. Why moves were stupid.
Yes, why this was stupid. Why this was stupid. Why we know better. And why that between the two of us, we have exactly zero votes to win the game. In our combined 89 days of playing Survivor.
But you still know it all.
We know everything.
Yes.
We know everything. So, that's going to be called, we're going to call that the Survivor Know-It-Alls. And that's going to be on Wednesday nights right here on robhasawebsite.com at 9:15 p.m. Eastern Time. I thought Steven is excited.
Of course
we're excited to have him. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, a lot of times Steven and I don't agree about things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be...
Most of the time you don't.
Yeah, we don't... We're kind of like... Well, I was going to say we're like the old guys on the Muppets, but I think the old guys on the Muppets agree about everything.
But you guys do look like the old guys on the Muppets.
We look like them?
Yes.
All right, so that is the first of those shows is going to be Wednesday night. We're very excited.
But does this mean I'm being replaced?
No, you're not being replaced. Can you make the shows on Wednesday night?
Sometimes I could.
All right, well, when you can be here.
Uh-huh.
And you could be a Survivor Know-It-All, too.
But I'm not.
But you're not. So Steven will be joining us Wednesday night. So we're very excited to have Steven. And, you know, let him know on Twitter that you're pumped up. If you're excited to see him. All right. So we're going to break down the episode then. It'll be really fun, too, because it'll be right in... That's like right after the episode ends is when everybody is like, oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh, my God. And then by the next day, people are like, what? What was on? Was that on? What happened? Oh, X Factor? What? But like right after Survivor, that's really when Twitter is like exploding.
Yes, it goes crazy. It
goes a little crazy. All right. So let's get into talking about Survivor Episode 2. And which is coming back tomorrow night on Wednesday.
Yes.
And
I thought it was on tonight for some reason.
Well, you know what? I've really played with everybody. Like, we're all screwed up because Survivor for the longest time was on Thursdays.
Right.
And so, you know, like, you could take a dog to the new house or whatever, but, you know what I'm saying. So Survivor in my head is still on Thursdays.
Yes.
Even though for 2 years it's been on Wednesdays.
Uh-huh.
And then Rob as a Web Show was on Wednesdays.
Yes.
And now it's on Tuesday.
And I'm so, it totally throws me off.
So, I'm liking it on Tuesday, because then after it's over, like, wow, we still have so many days left in the week still.
I have nothing to do.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. All right, so we're going to talk about what's coming up on the episode tomorrow night. And here's what we're going to do. The format of the Tuesday show, try to have a little bit of structure here, is what we're going to do on Tuesday mornings is we are going to look ahead to what is coming up on Wednesday.
Okay.
And we're going to talk to...
And speculate.
We have an embedded reporter for each of the tribes. And we're going to be checking in with them and talking to them about... They've been watching the secret scenes. They've been going through everything. And we're going to, you know, speculate on what is coming up on Survivor. And then what we're going to do on a normal Tuesday is that we're going to discuss The Amazing Race first on Tuesdays. So the schedule here for Rob as a Web Show is we're going to do Amazing Race first, then we're going to preview Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully, and then we'll talk to a guest from the Fantasy Football League.
Oh, good.
Okay? All right. So I think we are joined this morning by our first of our reporters.
I don't even know who they are.
We're going to introduce you to them. I'm pretty sure that everybody... it looks like everybody, we're going to have perfect attendance this morning, so yes. This is going to be exciting.
I liked watching the audition videos. You guys all did an amazing job.
Very good audition videos. All right, so let's start with our Jonathan Penner correspondent, and he is ready to go. It is Paul Michio McCarthy. I'm not sure if I pronounced his middle name right. Paul, how are you, sir?
Hello, Paul.
Hey, what's up, Nicole and Rob? How you doing?
Oh, we are doing fantastic. How about you?
Not too bad. Just New York here, so I'm on the East Coast. But ready to talk about Penner and Jeff Kent and all the greatness that is the Calabao Tribe.
Ooh, yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about it. So on the first night of Survivor, we had Penner showed up. As Nicole and I had predicted that we thought that there would be a rivalry between Penner and Jeff Kent. A la the rivalry between Jeff Kent and Barry Bonds. Mm-hmm. But we thought that the rest of the tribe was going to side with Penner and not with Jeff Kent. But right. To this point, it looks like everybody else is siding with Jeff Kent against Penner. Did you get to get any insight into, behind the scenes from any of the secret scenes on CBS?
Yeah, but I agree with you, but a lot of the scenes sort of seem to be highlighting Jeff Kent's knee injury, so Penner might luck out by actually somebody else having to leave the show benefiting him instead of him having to leave the last two times.
Is Jeff Kent's injury worse than he's letting on?
Yeah, I think he has a torn MCL, which you can do some... you can get around on, right? You can walk on it, you can sort of... go pick up firewood and all sorts of things. But when it comes to physical competitions, he might all of a sudden break down. That's what I'm worried about.
Are we getting reports that Jeff Kent could be out for the rest of the season?
He's on the deal
an MCL?
No, that's... I'm not Andy... I'm not Adam Schefter here. I can't verify it. I just think it's a hunch. He's a Please. Fighter. He said he wants to fight to go through it. And he's a tough guy, so... he'll do whatever he can, I'm sure, to get through it. And he's obviously showing some leadership skills. And I think the Calabao tribe as a whole, as you mentioned, have sort of migrated towards him. And from previous seasons, you know that sort of the younger crew and mostly girls just don't usually like Penner and don't get along with him. And episode one, you saw he was already going after the hidden immunity idol. So I think he's on the outs.
Yeah, and we can't lose Jeff Kent and Darrell Revis for the season in the same week.
Yeah.
It would be
too much.
It'd be too much. No, so it's interesting, Paul. You mentioned that a lot of times Penner does not get along with the younger women in his tribe. We saw him, ruffle feathers on the Cook Islands.
Yes.
Certainly, also on the Fans versus Favorites. What is it about Penner that makes, is it that he's too much of a father figure that all these girls don't care for him and they don't see eye to eye?
I personally think it's, I think he's annoying to younger people. I think they just find him sort of annoying. He talks a lot and he doesn't get along with, have the same things in common, but he just talks a lot and tries too hard. And I think it just gets under people's skin.
He does have a very strong personality.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's hilarious, and a lot of America does as well, but when you're sitting on an island with a guy for 24 hours a day, I think he might just be a little annoying.
Yeah, it's
interesting,
though.
I mean, Candace is like a sweetheart, right? Candace was like, she was a hero, and she hated him. She couldn't stand him on Cook Island.
Hmm. Yeah, but wasn't that more after he backstabbed them? I don't have a perfect recollection of that season, but I feel like weren't they tight to begin with? I mean, they did mutiny together, but then when he flipped and voted with Yule, wasn't that when Candace turned on Penner?
Yeah, but sort of the whole time he was like a tag along, right? He was always like tagging along, wanting to be with the young people, and then he was talking behind their back about how dumb they were and all that stuff, and I think all the people who are on the show now, if they watch that, they realize that maybe he sort of thinks young people are dumb and naive.
Okay. Well, we've talked a lot about Penner when we talked with Yule. We've talked a little bit about Jeff Kent, but I feel like we haven't discussed at all any of the other four people that are on this tribe. Now, Nicole, did you know there's actually four other people that are on this tribe besides Penner and Jeff Kent?
I had no idea.
Yes, yes, there's actually four other people. Now, I would be hard-pressed to give you all of their names.
Yeah.
I know Dawson is there.
Yes.
And I could physically describe to you the other three, yes. But it would be hard. It would be difficult for me to, yes, and thank you, Jessica, in the chat room. Katie, Dana, and Carter.
Dana? Which one's Dana?
Dana is has the very short blonde hair.
Okay.
Okay. So, Paul, have in your covering the Calabar tribe, can you tell us anything interesting about Dawson, Katie, Dana, or Carter?
Interesting about Dana, which may cause a controversy, I think, is she's openly openly lesbian, which Jeff Kent has really gone out there and been against Proposition 8 in the past, I believe. Like, he's donated money to the Proposition 8 cause. So there might be controversy there down the road with Jeff and Dana if they, talking about it over the fire, and it could cause some fireworks for sure.
Or maybe but she could change his mind.
Maybe she could change his mind. But I have to say, if they, they're sitting around the fire, and then at some point Dana, drops the bombshell, "Hey, I am a lesbian."
Mm-hmm.
Is this the kind of thing that Jeff Kent is gonna say? Oh my God! I had no idea.
Yeah, like, it's gonna be a shock.
wait a minute. Hold on. This whole time, you were lesbian. So I kind of I wonder if it's not gonna be that big of a deal. I mean, maybe if Jeff Kent reveals that he donated money, this could be a fight.
That could
but
be a problem.
It seems that. I mean, is there any way Jeff Kent is surprised here by this news?
Pretty obvious.
So, and it seems like they're good friends. They're friendly.
Yeah.
And they like each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Don't ask, don't tell.
Could this be sort of like a Rich and Rudy sort of thing where Rudy was like, Rich, he's queer, but, I ain't gonna, my buddies back home, they ain't gonna,
Rudy and Shelly really blend together.
Yeah, this is two different shows. But I'm wondering, maybe, are we overplaying this, the Kent and Dana friction?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think we are. I think ultimately, if he really wants to win the game, he's got to get over it and not cause controversy. And if he doesn't want to be, a bigot to America, I think he has to get over it as well. He doesn't have the best sort of public persona after all his years on the Giants and all of his controversy. So I think he's going to have no choice but to get over it.
Yeah. So,
but if he suggests her name to be voted out, we know why.
Yeah, we'll know why if he throws her under the bus. So if Calabar is the tribe that goes to tribal council tomorrow, is Penner screwed unless he finds the idol?
Unless he pulls some tricks, I think, the young girls probably have naturally migrated towards each other. They like Jeff Kent. Carter seems to be getting along with them well. From what I can tell, Penner seems like the odd man out, but he also has the star power, and producers like keeping the stars around, so who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, who knows what's going to happen is right. What about Carter? Do we have any sense of this guy at all? I mean, we saw his exit or his interviews. I almost called them exit interviews, his entrance interviews. And we saw that he is almost like a Fabio-esque character. Do we suspect that he has any game whatsoever?
He hasn't shown it yet. The funniest thing is when I was doing research, so I was coming across, his nickname is Butterface.
Oh.
Apparently he's a male Butterface, which...
Is that accurate, Nicole?
There is a such thing as a male Butterface.
He's a male Butterface?
I wouldn't say that about Carter.
For the record, I would feel horrible, and I would never let us talk this way about a female, but I feel like it's okay talking about a man.
Yes.
You can't talk this way about Carter, because I think he listens to the show, so be nice.
Well, I'm not saying... I'm asking you.
I don't think Carter is a Butterface.
Yeah, okay.
He does have a nice body.
Okay.
Maybe it's the hair.
Could he be a butter hair?
Butter hair.
and wouldn't he be a butt his face?
A butt his face?
Yeah.
Oh, I get it.
Right?
Yes.
He's a butt, the butt in his face.
Butt his face, yes.
Butt his face. Okay. Jessica Frey says Carter follows her on Twitter, so he's a good guy.
Oh, okay. Obviously.
All right, so that's good. Maybe it's the hair.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's the hair.
We'll narrow it down. And one last question, Paul. Nicole and I debated in the preview podcast who was going to last longer in this game, Katie or Dawson? Do you want to weigh in on that? Do you have a sense of which one you think is more of a player?
That's a good question. I think Katie, you know, she's easy on the eyes, you know, former beauty pageant.
Okay.
Yes.
I think if they get to emerge, she could use some of her charm and her good looks to get far in the game.
I agree, Paul.
Everybody's working against me. All right, Paul. Well, thank you very much for your excellent reporting on the Calabar tribe. And hopefully, I like that you're wearing red to support your team.
Yes.
But, yeah, hopefully you guys will avoid Tribal Council again this week.
I hope so. And if we don't, I hope that Penner lives to fight another day.
Yes, we'll
we
see.
We hope so, too.
All right, Paul, take care, buddy.
All right, guys, take
care. Oh, you cut him short.
I did Jessica Frey did. Okay? So, yeah, there you have it, Nicole.
Okay. That was good.
Yeah, Paul McCarthy, and we talked about the Calabar tribe. So we really got to go in-depth on one particular tribe and talk about what's
so
coming up.
We're going to go through all three tribes?
All three tribes. Okay. So one is down to only two to go.
Okay, clock is ticking.
You're here for the whole hour,
clock
right?
Clock is ticking, buddy.
I booked you for the hour, right?
I better get paid for this.
Yeah, okay. All right, so if I see Tyler Sloan is up in the chat room. He is our Mike Scoopin correspondent. Ooh. And if he's his camera is ready. And Tyler, very backlit.
Very mysterious.
How are you, sir?
How are you, Rob and Nicole? How's it going?
Yeah,
good,
we're,
how are you?
It's going great, yes. And yeah, very, very mysterious. You're just a profile.
Sorry about the line. I'll try and fix that next time.
Very silhouette.
No worries.
So, Tyler, let's introduce you. You are the correspondent, our reporter for the Scoopin' Tribe. And what is the name of the Scoopin' Tribe?
They're the Tandang Tribe, something
Tandang.
Like that.
Tandang.
I never remember the tribe names.
I'd never, ever, ever remember.
Yeah, they're either color or returning player.
Yeah.
Okay, so Tyler, I thought that the tribe that came off the best on Wednesday night was this Tandang Tribe, with the exception of one Miss Blair... Lisa Welchel from The Facts of Life. She's learning the facts of Survivor are
the hard way.
Yes, she's taking the bad and taking the bad. There is no good.
Maybe next episode.
Maybe next episode. But things all Sunday long, we're going to see in previews like this Facts of Life star's having a hard time.
Yeah, it's going to be a breakdown.
Breakdown. So, Tyler, what is your sense of Lisa Welchel? Is she cut out for this game?
I think she just runs into the problem that a lot of the older women run into, and that's if they can't perform really well in the challenges, that they're just an easy target to vote off early. And also the fact that she didn't really hang around the whole entire core group the entire time on the island. She kind of went off and did her own thing. She said she would stay by the fire when Scoopin' invited her to join the rest of the team. Those things just kind of immediately, especially in a small six-person tribe, I think really kind of put her on the outs.
Yeah, Tyler, I found it especially hilarious in my rewatch of the episode when, you know, everybody's like, okay, we're going to do these things. And Lisa's like, yeah, I'm going to stay here. I'll build the fire. And it's like, you know, you could count on one hand the number of times that people have built fire on their own on Survivor without any sort of flint or anything. And it's never been a single woman. You know, with, you know, like taking the thing and like going like this. I mean, we saw how hard they had to work over on the Russell Swan tribe. I just thought that was kind of funny that she's like, oh, yeah, I'm just
going to make a fire.
I'm just going to start the fire over here. That's good.
Yeah, it's one thing for Yao Man to take off his glasses and start the fire. You know, that's something that's really cool and unusual. But, you know, Lisa working hard trying to start the fire, I just thought it was a little odd that they wouldn't have Scoopin' to start the fire. Maybe they just wanted him to not get burned again.
Yeah, could be dangerous.
That could be dangerous. What do you make of all of these injuries that are mounting up for Mike Scoopin' so far? I mean, how long can he go until he just gets an infection or,
God forbid,
you know, steps on a rake or just knocks himself out of the game. Yeah. How accident prone is Mike Scoopin?
I believe he'll be okay.
Okay.
I think those tests, they didn't really seem that major to me watching the show. Now, obviously, you know, being out there in the elements might have a different sort of impact, but I have a feeling Michael Scoopin's going to be okay, and I think especially once he gets into a larger tribe, if he can get to that first merge, then he won't have to do so much of, you know, the camp responsibility. He can share that with other people.
Okay. Now, Nicole's pick to win this game was Artists,
who we didn't see
was
at all.
Pretty invisible throughout the whole episode. Do you think this is a good sign or a bad sign that he is this invisible early on?
I think it's a good sign, and I think Nicole's really on to something with Artist, because one thing listening to his cast interview was that Artist knows the game. You know, he's been trying to get on forever, and he's also somebody that is in shape for an older person, just like Michael Scoopin, and the fact that he's on a tribe with two other older people out of six, I think it does bode well for Artists to possibly survive the first merge and go deep into the game. Personally, I think he and Scoopin could team up and make a great team.
Now, does Artists know the game that well? Now, I did watch his interviews, and I did watch him say that everybody, that he's been a longtime fan, watching it from the beginning. But he talked about the first season of Survivor in his interviews, and I'm no at Rob's Fact Checker on Twitter. But he's claimed that the first season of Survivor, they took 20 people and dropped them off on an island to see who could win $1 million. And any Survivor fan who's worth his salt knows that there were only 16 people on the first Survivor.
Maybe he has a bad memory.
Yes. So.
Yeah, that was, what, 12 years ago? He might have just forgotten. You know, he's been through a lot in his life anyways, you know, with the cancer and everything.
He's
a real survivor.
He's a real survivor, not a fake-ass survivor with a podcast. Okay, so if this tribe goes to tribal council, is there any way that Lisa Welchel could avoid the vote tomorrow night?
I really don't know. There is one of those secret scenes on CBS where the tribe got together before the immunity challenge on episode one, and they discussed with the five of them, Artists included, hey, it's an easy decision. Lisa's going to go. And in fact, Pete had a quote in there. I could hear Pete in the background say, pack your bags, lady.
Oh,
so that doesn't really go well for Lisa.
Yeah. I mean, also, I thought it was interesting in the episode that Mike Scoopin was trying to convince Lisa, well, maybe if you tell everybody you were on the Facts of Life,
they'll love it.
They'll love it. They'll say, oh, my God.
I'm so starstruck.
I mean, do you think that as a Hail Mary, could that actually work?
I don't know, because the other three, the younger people, they might not even know who she is. I don't know how well, if their parents watch the Facts of Life, if Abby Maria from Brazil, you know, and she went to Sweden apparently when she was younger, if she is familiar with the Facts of Life, they may not know who she is, so it might not matter.
Okay. I don't think it matters at all. Whether they know her or not, I don't think it matters.
And somebody else from the Tandang tribe who was very much a part of the episode last week was RC. Now, some people have said they like where she's going. Other people have said too hard, too fast. Where do you weigh in on RC, and did you get any insight into her from the secret scenes?
What I see when I see RC is it should really scream in everyone's mind, major, major threat. She's got the look. She has the physical ability. And she's already taking control of the ship and forming the alliance. Now, being a New Yorker, she's kind of talks about being aggressive, and she also talks about how she doesn't think she has a weakness. I think, kind of like Russell Swan, if she tries to push her alliance too much, she might be the first one out of it.
Yeah, I really feel like I made this comparison with Yul, that she reminds me of a young Jerry Manthe from Survivor Australia. And I'm not saying like anything like, oh, that she was a villain or anything like that. But the way that Jerry tried to get Amber and Mitchell and Colby early on in that game and said, okay, this is our alliance. And Tina and Keith, you guys are, and Mad Dog, we're going to get rid of the old people.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like, you know, it could swing, like where Tina and Keith were able to swing Colby, I could see Lisa and Artis pulling Scoopin over.
Uh-huh.
Although it still would only make it 3-3, so something's got to give. But we'll see. I'm not giving up on Lisa yet. Even though I agree, I think RC does have a strong performance this past Wednesday.
Yes.
I think it might be time to start giving up on Lisa, Rob. I just don't see a good future for her in this game.
No! We never get keep hope alive.
That's a different season.
Tyler, you know, we ran into Abby Maria last week Big Brother finale, and she was hanging out with none other than former Survivor Cha-Cha.
Yes.
How about that?
That's interesting. One thing I also found out is that, I don't know if you knew this, she's actually a good friend with Big Brother finalist Portia.
Whoa.
We found that out that night.
Yes. Oh, my God. This is like a whole alliance of Cha-Cha, Portia, Abby Maria. What does it all mean?
Yes.
Let's see.
But Abby Maria, very sweet, very nice girl.
Very, very nice.
Very charismatic.
Okay. So she's
very nice, sweet girl. I think that can get her deep into the game. However, I'm not sure about her strategy post-merge. All she says is, may the best man win. So I'm not sure if she's has the game to win the game, but she's definitely somebody that can go far because she's not going to get on anybody's nerves, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think so. Okay, and do you think there could be a showmance in the making for real between Pete and Abby Maria?
There's a possibility. Pete is probably the guy on the tribe I have the worst read on. He could either be brilliant or he could be just dumb as a rock. I have no idea. He may be on the show to look for a showmance. He may be trying to play, you know, the game of Survivor. I can't tell, but either RC or Abby Maria, I think he would gravitate more towards Abby Maria. But, you know, he's a 23-year-old, young, good-looking dude, so he might be trying to get on there to try and find a girl.
He wants to get it in.
Yeah. All right, Tyler, thank you for the report. Great job, buddy.
Hey, no problem. Thanks, guys. Yeah.
Good luck, Tyler. Tomorrow night. No tribal council.
Yes.
All right. Take care, Tyler. Bye. All right. Bye. So now we've got Hayden Moss lit up. I know he wanted to get in on half past the show.
And that's about the time.
That's about now. Hayden Moss, are you watching? Do you can you give us just a couple minutes to check in with Russell Swan? But if you've got to go, we'll jump in and grab Hayden Moss now. So I want to make sure I don't want to lose Hayden Moss here if he's ready to go. But I would like to just finish out Survivor. So we'll see if Hayden is good to go.
No news is good news.
Give us a thumbs up in the chat room. I don't know if the chat room is frozen. What does he say? He says it's good. Let me see. Look in my thing. Look in the chat.
He says I have time.
Oh, he has time. Right. Okay, great.
Fantastic.
All right, perfect. All right, so let's go bring in Aaron Robertson, and he is our correspondent for Russell Swan and the Matt Singh tribe, who is down a member now after we lost Zane Knight. Were you a Zane fan?
I did like him.
He was interesting.
He was interesting.
One of the more interesting first boots that we've had on the show. And here's Aaron Robertson. And Nicole, you may know
Aaron Robertson
from his work. He is the man behind the Friggin' Five jingle.
Yay.
Yes, this is the man who coined 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Do it again.
Oh, fantastic. Nice to meet you, Aaron.
Yes, yes.
That's amazing.
Yes, so
I know.
Aaron. Yes, welcome.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Yeah, we're doing great. And yes, if you would like to record a song for your reports, we would love that. We would love that as well. So, all right, let's do it again.
Let's do it again.
Let's talk about the Matt Singh tribe. And it was not a great night for Russell Swan this past week. And the question we want to know is, can Russell Swan rebound from this, or is he a dead man walking?
I don't know. I mean, Russell has, you know, a history of making, you know, bad decisions, especially, you know, going back to Samoa, even though, you know, he was a good leader and Galu was, you know, thriving. I mean, he made poor choices like sending Shambo to Fofo not once but twice. Like, I mean, she was ready to flip. I mean, how is she not going to flip after you send her there twice? And then, like, picking, like, the comfort over, like, the important items. So he has a history of being a horrible, horrible leader. And I think one of the most important things about being a leader is you have to listen to people. And he's clearly not. And he doesn't know how to read people, especially the girls. And, like, they told him to his face at the immunity challenge that, you know, hey, I'm not good at puzzles. And then he's like, well, I can't do puzzles. You do them. And then Roxy tried to interrupt saying, well, I don't think, you know, we should be doing this. And, he, you know, he interrupts her again. So, like, I mean, it's his own fault.
Yeah. That was great. No, what do you think of Russell Swan and how he was trying to say, hey, I'm not going to be the leader. I'm not going to be that guy who goes out there. Oh, no. Oh, boy, that's not me. Because everybody wants to get rid of that guy. I'm not going to do that. Cut to him doing exactly what he said he's not going to do.
I mean, I guess, I mean, Survivor is a game where the real you comes out. So, you know, if you're a natural leader, you know, after a while, sooner or later, those qualities in yourself are going to start to come out. So you can't really pretend to be something you're not. And, you know, Russell is like a natural kind of leader. So he's just, you know, in this zone like, okay, you know, I'm leading, but I'm not going to lead, but I'm leading. So, I mean, that's a problem he's going to have to face.
Yeah, I also think that it's a truism on reality TV. The more somebody tells you that they're not something, the more they actually are. And like anybody that comes out is like, hey, I'm not stupid, okay? I am not stupid. Mm. I was like, oh, you're really trying to fight me on this. I'm starting to buy it. I'm not the leader. I'm not the leader around here. I don't want to be the leader. Tadashi wants to know, the problem that Russell Swan is facing is the fact that Malcolm and Denise are running the tribe, and he has no idea. Yes. So the power players in this tribe appear to be Denise and Malcolm, who we didn't see a ton of, but it was clear in the bit that we saw them that they were the ones running the
show.
They're
the mastermind.
Yes. Did you get any additional insight into this new power couple from the secret scenes?
No, the only secret scene that we had of the tribe was them building the shelter and Zane telling Denise about his tattoos.
Yes. Yeah, I actually did see that one. Where
his Frankenstein tattoo, yeah.
His Frankenstein tattoos. He's like, Frankenstein, maybe he'll pick you a flower, maybe he'll crush your head. And I had him on the podcast last week, and I think he picked me a flower.
Oh, that was nice.
That was very nice of him. Aww. So we don't have too much of a sense of Malcolm or Denise, right. But they're running the show. And we have even less of a sense of the Angie and Roxy. And we know that they hate puzzles and they don't like being told what to do.
Yeah, I think Angie is going to stick around just because, you know, she has sort of a connection with Malcolm. I'm not sure about Roxy. I kind of fear for Roxy that, you know, she just might be you know, tossed aside because, you know, Malcolm and Denise have a connection and Angie and Malcolm have a connection. And since Zane is gone, you know, Emmy's really just her and Russell probably on the outs at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, Aaron, what I think could happen is, you know, Survivor's a game of momentum. And I would not be surprised if Matt Singh is back at Tribal Council on this episode. Do they pull the trigger on Russell Swan this week? Knowing that, yes, he is in the worst position in the group, but they would be very much, they would be a tribe of just Malcolm and the three women going against the other tribes that have three men apiece. Mm-hmm. If it's a physical challenge,
and
they're going to be
strong.
Way outgunned. Will they pull the trigger on Russell Swan?
That is a tough call. I guess it kind of depends on where their head is at, you know. I mean, it could be a situation like All Stars where, you know, Saboga lost twice and then we had the challenge and then Jenna quit. And then at the top 15, you know, they had the challenge where the losing tribe would get absorbed into the other two tribes. So if they do think something like that is going to happen, they just might cut Russell loose now because he'll probably be harder to get rid of later and keep Roxy around because she is new, but you know she's on the outs anyway. They could get rid of her at any point. But I probably think Roxy might get cut just because, you know, it could be that uncertainty of, you know, we don't know how long we're going to be in this situation.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree. I think that Roxy could be the one to go out here because it seems like Angie is at least tighter with Malcolm, and I feel like that's the, you know, the power couple that you want to be in with. Maybe they feel like they have Russell, they could tell him what to do, but if Roxy is a little more, you know, not aligned, particularly strong, if she's aligned with Angie instead of aligned with Malcolm or Denise, it could be her turn to go. But it's going to be a good show. I really have no idea of who could go on tomorrow night.
Yep.
And, of course, we will speak with whoever it is Thursday morning on Robinson Podcast. Aaron, thank you very much for your report, and we look forward to next Tuesday when we can do it again. Yes.
do it again.
Thank you, Aaron.
Yes. Thank you, Aaron. Yeah. Take care.
All right. Bye, guys.
Great job, buddy. Bye. All right, there's Aaron Robertson.
Oh, and, so nice to finally meet him.
So nice. And, a great update from all three of our reporters. Okay,
fantastic.
Let's bring in Hayden Moss. We've had him, waiting around like
waiting
he's in sequester for so long. And here he is, Hayden Moss. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Hayden.
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Hayden, fresh back from a trip to Canada to get the word out about Big Brother Canada. Is this correct?
That is correct. I was up Vancouver. They did the Vancouver Open call for the first season of Big Brother Canada. And let me tell you what, Canadians are crazy. It's going to be a pretty cool season, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Those Canadians up there are reality fanatics. So,
yeah, they are.
They're very enthusiastic.
They are. And they love they love their reality TV. Mm-hmm. They don't get tired of it, where, in America – there are other scripted shows that do better in the ratings in Canada. The reality shows, they're killing it.
They love it.
They're killing it. They love it. And so I've always said that I felt like the Canadians, they love it so much because they can't be on it. And they're like like in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, all the kids are like eating the candy and they're all great. And then Charlie has his nose pressed up against the glass and like, oh, all I want is the candy. I felt like maybe this was the case.
Grass is always
Canadians.
Green on the other side.
Yeah, they wanted in so bad and they couldn't have it.
They have it. It's at their fingertips.
Yep, locked in. So Big Brother Canada, it's going to air up there this winter, like December, January-ish will be the launch date.
Okay. Now, is it only open to Canadians?
That's my understanding. Canadians only, at least for the first season. They want to have that Canadian feel to this. I mean, the house is going to be in Toronto in the wintertime. It's going to be freezing. They're going to have, a little bit of a – obviously, the house is inside. They're going to have a backyard that's got a small outdoor element. And they've kicked around, some crazy ideas. But it's going to be cool.
Now, is it produced by the same – is it Grodner and her team? Are they producing Big Brother Canada, or is it a totally different people producing Big Brother Canada?
It's a different crew. It's Slice TV and Shaw Media. John Brunson,
okay,
I believe is his last name, is going to be the executive producer.
Okay.
He's awesome, too. I met him, hung out with him, had dinner with him. Good, cool guy. A really cool guy. It'll be fun.
So are these people, do they work on the American Big Brother and now they're working on the Canadian Big Brother? So will it feel like the American Big Brother? Or will it be more like the European Big Brother?
No, it's going to have the American feel. And the reason they're doing that is because the Canadians have been watching American Big Brother for the past, 14 years. So they want to keep that American feel, but they're going to have, a Canadian vibe. But they'll follow the American format pretty closely.
And now, Hayden, do you feel like now in the works at some point we are going to get Big Brother Canada versus Big Brother America? Will we have a season of the top Canadian players against the top American players?
That would be pretty awesome. It's super early. They haven't even had a season. But, it's a battle of the nations, Canada versus the U.S. It'd be fun.
The Big Brother World Cup, if you will.
The World Cup.
Will there be a glass house Canada?
Highly doubtful. Did you watch that show there?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, Hayden, were you sad to be in Canada this weekend and miss the Vegas Bash, the Mardi Gras of Big Brother?
Did you go to Vegas Bash? I was bummed. Because Vegas Bash is obviously insane, but at the same time, the Canadian experience is kind of a once in a lifetime thing. Colin said, "Hey, you want to do this?" So I couldn't pass it up.
Yeah,
Canadians needed you.
Yeah, Do you like that Big Brother Mardi Gras is Vegas bash?
I love how you congratulate yourself on your choice.
I like that. I like that. Jeffrey Bamberger has a question for Hayden. How foolish and forced did it feel to film the Brigade get-together for the recent Big Brother episode? It felt forced as a viewer. I did think that was funny when you guys got together and were in the diner. And I think Lane was like, so you guys watching Big Brother this season? It's like, yeah, we're in a diner being filmed by a camera crew. And we got on planes to come here.
it was fun. Like, I'm close with all those guys still, so it didn't seem forced for me. Maybe, you know, between Matt and Enzo, and we all get along good, so it wasn't necessarily forced. But, you know, some parts were awkward. You know, the camera's in the face, they're asking us questions. Here we are bashing Brittany, who we all love. And but, yeah. You know, it turned out good. It was fun.
And we're happy. Matt Hoffman is officially back in the Brigade. I knew he was out at one point. Is he's back in? He's been reinstated?
I mean, it depends who you're asking. If you ask
let
me,
him
yeah,
back
Matt,
in.
Matt will always be a part of the Brigade.
Yeah.
He's part of the reason we made it far. I mean, without him, the first half of the show, we, you know, we sucked.
Yeah. So are you guys saying now, could you, like, kick people out and in? Like, is Dan out of the Quack Pack, or we have to ask Ian now?
You have to ask Ian.
I think Dan might be out of the Quack Pack.
He probably is.
He might be out of the Quack Pack.
My opinion, Dan... Okay, you ask Ian. Dan's out of the Quack Pack from my point of view, but it is what it is. Dan played a killer game this year, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable game.
I don't think Dan ever really thought he was in the Quack Pack. Just everybody else thought he was in the Quack Pack.
Yes.
Yeah, Dan. Dan did a great job. Did you think that Dan should have won the second time, or do you think that Ian should have won?
That's tough. I actually was rooting for Ian, but yeah. Dan's game was out of control. But one thing with the game is you have to remember, you know, sending people to jury is part of the game, and if you send them to the jury super bitter, they're gonna have those feelings toward. It's like Russell Hance from Survivor. You know, he played one of the best Survivor games of all time, but then the jury was super bitter, so they didn't vote for him. So yeah. You can say Dan kind of got Russell Hance BB version.
Yeah, I would say
he
so.
Definitely did.
So did you think that as a former winner of the game, now do you guys all have a sort of welcoming party for Ian? Like, do you guys all have like I joke around about the Survivor Winners Club that they all, you know, sit around
the
and
winner's circle.
Smoke cigars. Is there anything like that with Big Brother, or get a baller on Skype from jail and all like talk about like the good times?
You know what? I reached out to him via Twitter. I shot him a tweet. Hey, you know, congrats. And I said, welcome inner circle. Cause you know, it's kind of a cool thing. But I mean, we're not gonna get around and smoke stogies and have a beer. No,
yeah. I don't think he smokes stogies.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't strike me as a stogie smoker.
It would be funny. Yeah. It would be hilarious. Now, what do you think of this, Hayden? Now, I saw a lot of interviews with Ian last week, and after he won, he was like, "Hey, I won the game. Get Kristen from BB12 my phone number."
Ooh.
And he's like,
send me
Kristen. Send me Kristen from Big Brother 12.
Yeah.
What do you make of that? Could that work?
I think it's hilarious. And obviously Kristen is super hot. So Ian, you know, good for him. Props. He's playing the game. You know, he's like at the top of the mountain right now. So you want to, you know, shoot for the skies.
He's shooting for the sky.
That's reaching for the stars there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
You're okay.
And maybe if they ever get together, maybe Captain Kosher won't be there to be watching either.
Yeah, to be a cock block.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was Aaron never awkward.
Yeah. Aaron Robertson wants to know, how did it feel to see Brittany blindsided again? We know you guys all love Brittany. She had a very tough way to go out this season. After Dan's funeral, she ends up being the one to go out instead of Dan. What was your guys feeling, you know, watching that go down?
That was tough because, I mean, obviously I love Brittany and I was pulling for her all season long. So this time it was tough to see it go down, especially the way it went down with Dan's funeral and kind of the turn of events. Cause she was, you know, sitting pretty, you know, 2 days prior to Dan's funeral, Dan has his funeral, all of a sudden, boom, she's gone. It was a tough thing to watch. And yeah, it just sucked because, again, I wanted her to go on and win the game.
Have you talked to Brittany? How is she doing now? Because I didn't see her at the – we went to the Superpass party on Thursday night. She wasn't there. And in my mind, I say, oh, no show at the post-show party. Also, Danielle wasn't there.
I think Danielle did show up later.
Oh, okay. She didn't come till later. I feel like I put a lot of stock into these, don't want to go to the party. Feels like maybe you're a little upset.
Yeah, I don't know if she's upset. That's just kind of who Brittany is. Because she didn't go to Vegas, you know, the year we got off the show. She didn't do a lot of the parties or events. She's a newlywed. I'm sure she missed the husband, living in Oklahoma now. So I bet they just jumped in the plane and whatever, went back home.
Join the Mile High.
I haven't talked to
her. Nicole, Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Take it easy.
That's just my guess. Yeah. I need to give her a ring now.
Yeah. Okay.
She seems like the least bitter jury member. I think that she's
Well, that's why I was surprised. Yeah. I was surprised to not see her at the parties.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Boogie wasn't there, and understandably, he's not too thrilled with the show. I did an interview with him a couple of weeks ago. He said he doesn't even think he's going to watch the show anymore. Yeah. So he wasn't thrilled. But yeah, I was surprised not to see Brittany there.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying. All right, so Hayden Moss, you are part of the Rob as a Podcast 20 team league. And you have been killing it this season. You're off to a 3-0 start here.
Wow, undefeated.
Now, what is has been the secret to your success here early on?
Hot start. Basically, the best pick I took was the Seahawks defense. I mean, they've been lights out for me. And then, I snagged Reggie Bush early, and he's been killer, although he didn't hurt. And one cool thing is my best pick probably overall – was getting Mikel ashore super late because he's going to be a monster going forward. He's going to have eight carries a game, 100 plus yards a game going, from here on out. So I'm going to have three starting running backs in a 20 team league. That's not a bad thing to have.
The rich keep getting richer. Hayden Moss 3-0 off to a flying start and has Mikel ashore. Now, did you want to weigh in on the replacement officials?
Oh my God. How brutal was that call last night? Disgusting. Yes. Hey, but it's good though, because I was rooting for the Seahawks and I got their defense, blah, blah, blah. But it was brutal. You can't blow that call like that. Did you see the guy, the other play where the official throws his hat into the end zone and Kevin Ogletree steps on the hat? And so the official throws his hat into the end zone to mark something. And Kevin Ogletree, the wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys, winds up stepping on the hat, slipping and falling, and misses a touchdown because of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's really just like, Armageddon has broken out in the NFL. For those of you, the uninitiated, the referees are locked out. They want more money. NFL, it won't give it to them. So the NFL found a bunch of guys and made them the new referees.
Off the street.
And they're just blowing everything. They should do, in the NFL now, it should just be like when Jeff Probst doesn't come to the challenge and they have to do it themselves. The players should just officiate the game themselves. Because it would only be better than these guys who they have now, who are just like, me and you are calling the game.
Yeah,
throwing flags. Every play has a penalty. It's really been a disaster. All right. So, what's next for you in the 20-team league? Who do you have coming up this week?
Oh, you know what? I'm not sure. I have this week.
Oh, okay. Well, then don't
I didn't
sweat.
Look.
Is there anybody in the 20-team league that you are scared about? Is there anybody that you feel like could threaten your chance at a victory for the title?
Well, you know what? Frankie's Bounty Hunter's that guy. So it's Frank Clark.
Frank Clark.
He's undefeated still right now too. I know that. So it really depends. I mean, it's a lot of in fantasy football's luck, kind of the way, especially 20 team league. Our teams aren't very deep, so kind of if somebody gets hurt, whatnot, that's really going to have a big effect on the team.
Yeah. Well. All right. Well, we'll see exactly how it's going to work out the rest of the season. My team, we had a loss this week. I put up a lot of points, but lost to the tag team, which is McDonald's Bread, Eric Nelson and Dawn's Bread, combined to beat me this week. So I did not appreciate that.
Loser.
Yeah, it was a tough weekend for me. All my fantasy teams lost. The Jets won, but had a terrible game where they lost Revis for the year. They shouldn't have won the game. And just overall, just a really lousy Sunday. And yeah, I had the Steelers in the Eliminator. It was just a total garbage Sunday, if you ask me.
It was a wacky Sunday.
Yeah.
So many OT games, super close games. Obviously, the whole officiating thing was brutal. Yeah. Kind of a crazy Sunday.
Hayden, real quick, I know your buddies with Ike Davis. Why do the Mets want to trade him? Why are they saying he stays out too late at night partying? Is Ike Davis out clubbing all the time? Why are the Mets mad at him?
Are you taking him out?
You know what? I know he's not out clubbing all the time, but it's Arizona State, which is a little bit of a party school.
Dawn's bread.
Yeah. Ike's a great guy, and this is, you know, he's young in the league right now. He struggled a little bit early. He's going to figure it out. He works hard. If they trade him, they're going to miss him, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, I like Ike Davis. Yeah. Mike Norris says, no question. I just want to tell you, Hayden, I think he's one of the most underrated Big Brother players ever. So
much appreciated.
Yeah, so there you have it. All right, so Hayden, thank you so much for coming on with us. Yes. appreciate you, Preesh. Glad you came on the show with us finally, Hayden.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate you guys having me. Frank, yeah. Preesh, shout out to him. Go ahead.
All right, don't be a stranger. There you go.
Cool. See you guys.
Hayden Moss, there you have it. Take care. All right, it's Hayden Moss in the Robinson Podcast 20-team league. And if you can't get enough of the fantasy football, check out our friends over at Draft Street. Go to robhasawebsite.com/draftstreet. Play daily fantasy football games. They've got crazy stuff going on every football weekend. When you make a deposit, they will match it 40%. And we had our free roll once again this past weekend.
Uh-huh.
And I came in sixth place out of 128 people.
We won $10.
Very good. Yes, and I won a cool $10.
Yeah, I want to play this week.
Well, we'll see. I'm waiting to hear if we're going to do it again. You know, they tell me later on in the week.
Yes.
If we're going to do it
I'm
or
gonna
not.
I'm going to play.
But you can play, you know.
It sounds so fun.
It is really fun. It's very addictive. robiswebsite.com/draftstreet lots of fun. You know, it's just another thing that besides your fantasy team to look at. All right, so there you have it. That's going to do it for a Survivor podcast for today. We talked about, I did some great preview for Survivor.
Yes.
I feel like we're all ready for the show on Wednesday night. Don't forget, after the show, join myself and Stephen Fishback will be with us live, 9:15 p.m. Eastern. We will break it all down. I really think it's going to be a really fun way to do it this season. And we will then bring you our regular podcast on Thursday, where I will be speaking with the winner of Survivor One World, Kim Spradlin, on Thursday.
Ooh, very exciting.
So I will talk with Kim on Thursday. So a big Survivor week. It's just getting started. Have fun, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. Oh, don't forget. I almost forgot. Amazon.com, the lifeblood of Rob Has a Podcast. Go to robhasawebsite.com/Amazon for all of your electronics and whatever the hell you need. They've got it out there. They've got all the best prices. Save, get free shipping when you spend $25 or more on most items, all through robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. You go there, they give us a little commission for sending you over. Does not cost any more money to you, and you get to sleep soundly knowing, hey, I did a solid for Rob and Nicole.
Yes, you did.
All right, we truly, truly appreciate it.
As always.
Thank you guys very much. Had a lot of fun today. Thank you to our embedded Rahat Porters. Thank you, Paul, Tyler, and Aaron, for coming out of the gate strong. And looking forward to hearing from you guys all season. And thanks to everybody who stuck with us the whole hour today. And Hayden Moss as well, and Jessica Frey for producing the show. But until tomorrow night with Steven, we will talk to you again soon. Take care.
Bye, guys.
And...